I call Senate Resource Committee to order. Today is Friday, May 3rd, 2024. The time is 3:30 p.m. Please make sure your cell phones are turned off. Committee members present: Senator Dunbar, Senator Kawasaki, Senator Klayman, Vice Chair Kawasaki, Co-Chair Bishop, and myself, Co-Chair Geisel. Did I get Klayman wrong?
No.
I did? Oh, I'm so sorry. Pardon me. Vice Chair Kawasaki, pardon me. I wasn't even paying attention. Sorry. We have a quorum to conduct business. Moving on. Thank you, Sav Danbart and Dylan Williams for staffing the committee today. Today's agenda has one item on it. That's Senate Bill 50. That's carbon storage by the governor. We have a committee substitute before us. Vice Chair or Co-Chair Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to adopt Senate CS for House Bill 50, Work Order 33-Golf Hotel 1567/H, as in hotel, as our, working document. Sorry. Yep.
Very good. I will object for purposes of discussion, and I will invite my staff, Julia O'Connor, to the table. So please explain the changes made in the committee substitute for House Bill 50.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Julia O'Connor, staff to Senator Geisel. I will be going through the explanation of changes between Senate Resources CS for House Bill 50 from version 33-GH1567/D to version H. The committee substitute adopts the following changes. Updated title, added section 4, requires Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission to prepare a report on each oil and gas waste case at the start of each regular session. Amended section 6, declares injection charges generated as revenue to the state are considered a royalty share for use of the state's mineral resources. Amended section 17, which adds minimum commercial terms that were removed from version A of this bill, sets a minimum of $20 an acre of carbon storage exploration license fee and injection fee of at least $2.50 a ton, adds an increase to the commercial terms every 5 years based on the consumer price index, provides a mechanism by which the commissioner can lower the minimum terms upon a best interest finding that the project would be otherwise uneconomic, ensures the Department of Natural Resources public notice of interest in an exploratory license is adequate to apprise entities who may seek alternative uses for the underground lease area, verifies DNR's duty and authority over dismantlement and reclamation requirements upon closure of a carbon capture utilization and storage facility. It amends Section 35, which requires DNR to provide a state-owned seismic data to players in the energy sector, and added Section 41 through 47, adds to Regulatory Commission of Alaska, RCA's, jurisdiction to include the regulation of natural gas storage and liquefied natural gas storage, including facilities operated by a pipeline carrier. RCA would have the authority to regulate the cost of storage service. RCA's storage regulation would exempt pipeline carriers on the North Slope and for liquefied natural gas import facilities under the jurisdiction of Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Ensures cost consideration for storing gas or liquefied natural gas in determining just and reasonable rates, and addresses confidentiality of records related to finances of gas storage facilities, liquefied natural gas storage facilities, or public utilities providing natural gas storage services.
Thank you, Ms. O'Connor. With that, I will remove my objection. Is there further objection to adopting the committee substitute as our working document? Seeing none, we will now go through an amendment process for HB 50. On Wednesday, we left off discussing Vice Chair Wilikowski's amendment number D-36. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will withdraw Amendment D36.
All right. So Amendment D36 has been withdrawn. Next on the amendment list is Amendment D44, which members should have at their desks. Senator Wilikowski? Brief at ease. I call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. So members, you should all have Amendment D44 somewhere. Everybody got it? All right. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I would move Amendment D.44.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion. Senator Wilikowski.
This is an amendment to the lease expenditure provision of the law. And this is something that the last amendment tried to deal with that, and there were some concerns raised. We continued to work with the Department of Natural Resources and Revenue. And this is our, this is what we came up with. And so if you turn to page 4 of the amendment, it talks, it's lines 17 through 25 is really the essence of the amendment. And what it fundamentally does is it says that costs incurred, if you're attempting to become an eligible for, or you're seeking to use the 45Q credits, then you cannot deduct your lease expenditures. And that's fundamentally what we're trying to get at here is we think these projects are extremely expensive. The carbon capture projects are extremely expensive, and they would not be economic under ordinary terms. And however, when coupled with the extremely large tax credits that are available, then they become economic for the companies, but the state ends up paying a huge portion of the cost of building that because of our tax structure. And this really just prevents double dipping. It says you either get the tax credits or you get to deduct it off your lease expenditures. That's what the amendment does, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Wilikowski. Discussion, Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to thank Senator Wilikowski for bringing this amendment. I know that the primary challenge here, and we talked about this last time with the prior version of this amendment, was, as the department was talking about, well, there is sort of legitimate oil recovery activity that might come from this insertion of carbon, and how do you sort of differentiate that from projects that are built specifically for the sequestration of carbon? And I think this does a pretty good job of as good a job as we could hope of separating that out. And you know, the department has said sort of from the beginning that the intention is not to allow these kind of projects, actual CCUS projects, to be used for lease expenditures. And so that is certainly the intent. I think my intent is we pass this law, and I think that this amendment helps put some belt and suspenders on what is already, I think, the policy intent of the department and of this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Dunbar. Senator Kaufman.
Thank you, Chair Gisela. I would like to hear from the department and just see what their thoughts are on this.
Absolutely. Commissioner, Deputy Commissioner, we would welcome your input. I will say that we also have Owen Stevens on board. He's with Department of Revenue. He's online. Brett Huber, Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. Fadil Lamani, he's with the Department of Revenue. Robert Doyle, he is the chair of the RCA. Brandon Spanos, acting tax director, Department of Revenue. Johnny Meza, Division of Oil and Gas. Ryan Fitzpatrick is here in the room, and so is Derek Nottingham. So that is the cadre of experts that are available. Commissioner, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Co-Chair Giesel, Co-Chair Bishop, and honorable members of the Resources Committee. This is John Boyle, Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources, for the record. So as it pertains to Amendment D-44, the department is continuing to evaluate this particular amendment. As we have articulated, I think, in earlier hearings, the department's main concern with delving into the realm of lease expenditures is that HB 50 is written, does nothing to open the door in terms of allowing companies to include carbon captured as lease expenditures. This bill solely deals with the regulation of the storage of permanent storage of captured carbon. The concerns that have been raised about companies being able to capture carbon, claim a federal 45Q tax credit, utilize that captured carbon in enhanced oil recovery, that framework already exists today. And in fact, not only is there a federal tax credit component to captured carbon utilized for EOR, but our tax code has adopted Section 45Q of the U.S. tax code, and so there is a state credit component. So today, if a company is interested in capturing carbon and utilizing it for enhanced oil recovery, they could qualify for both a federal and state credit. Those credits, at least the federal credit, and I would assume the state credit, have been in place since 2008, which is when this program was originally rolled out. In 2022, I believe under the Inflation Reduction Act is when the amounts for those credits were boosted to, in the hopes to further incentivize companies looking at this as an option to capture carbon. So that exists now. We've heard that the concerns are that in the process of capturing carbon and then in turn utilizing that carbon for enhanced oil recovery, there's concern that they would be able to deduct the costs associated with capturing that carbon from their existing production tax liabilities. We've heard testimony from the Department of Revenue, and they're online to clarify if I overstep the mark, that under current Department of Revenue regulations, interpretation of what constitutes an ordinary and necessary lease expenditure for purposes of lease deductions on the North Slope, that they would not recognize captured carbon as a ordinary or necessary cost. Therefore, companies would not be allowed to deduct the actual costs of capturing fugitive carbon that they plan on utilizing for enhanced oil recovery. They could still apply for the credits, but as far as deducting from their current state production taxes those costs, Department of Revenue's testimony was they cannot do that under our existing regulatory structure. So the issue that we have grappled with is we have contemplated what has been touted as a belts and suspenders approach, is that we're in essence trying to address a problem which we don't believe exists currently in terms of risks of companies being able to take lease expenditures from capturing fugitive carbon and being able to deduct those high costs from their current production taxes. That being said, we've expressed to the committee, to the maker of the amendment, that the department is willing to work to see if there's a better way or at least a stage gate or if there's some mechanism by which we can add an additional measure of security or assurance that this credit claiming this lease expenditure issue will not somehow manifest itself in a malignant way in the near future. And so we're looking at that. But our number one concern is we look at language that starts to tiptoe into the realm of dealing with lease expenditures. Is that if the language isn't tight enough, we start to incorporate in that universe currently allowable lease expenditures that companies are and should be using currently to enhance oil production on the North Slope, which I think most members of this committee would be supportive of. We want to ensure that those currently allowable lease expenditures continue to be currently allowable. And so in our minds, we want to ensure that the scope of this bill doesn't exceed the bounds which are really set in this bill, which, of course, that's now rendered mute as we move on to the next amendment, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. So that's the department's position. We're happy to look at it. We will continue to work in good faith on that particular issue. In our opinions right now, again, we're trying to address a problem that we don't believe exists, but we will continue to look at it.
Thank you, Commissioner. Deputy Commissioner?
Chair Giesel, John Crowther, Deputy Commissioner for the record. I just note, as the Commissioner alluded to, there's a great deal of review that needs to go, and we're just seeing the draft of this. Obviously, we need time with the Department of Law, Department of Revenue to review it and continue to work, obviously, with the Senate on this language. So we're happy to work, do that work. We just have not done it yet, given that we've just seen the language.
Thank you. We do have Brandon Spanus online. He is the acting tax director in the tax division. Mr. Spanus, have you seen this amendment? And if so, have you comments on it?
Madam Chair, for the record, acting director Brandon Spanos. And yeah, I would echo what Deputy Commissioner Crowler just said, that we will need some time to review it and work with law. The Commissioner Boyle, what Commissioner Boyle had stated as well, we're not, it's just not something that that's happening or that we would anticipate happening, that it would be a normal expedient expense. But certainly we'll want to take a further look at the language and confer with law.
Thank you. Committee members, further discussion. Senator Klayman.
I think this is for one of the folks from the Department of Natural Resources. Just so that I'm tracking accurately, there's costs of production, and if a company did use carbon to increase oil production, that would be a cost of production potentially. Correct? You should answer and not just nod.
Senator Klayman through the chair. I apologize, sir. Still having a little flashbacks from last night. I believe as I tracked your question, if a company were to source CO2, for instance, and want to utilize that for enhanced oil recovery, I believe that would be an allowable lease expenditure under current regulation. But again, I would defer to the Department of Revenue, who's really the interpreter and arbiter of that standard.
Then maybe I should get Department of Revenue to answer, Madam Chair.
Mr. Spanos, did you hear Senator Klayman's question?
Yes, I did hear it. Again, Brandon Spanos, acting director in Tax Division, Department of Revenue. Under our current statutes, if there is an expense that would enhance oil production that is ordinary and necessary, then yes, it can be taken as an enhanced oil recovery deduction.
Senator Klayman, follow up.
And for Mr. Spanos, so that the 45Q tax credits, in addition to essentially what would happen is it would be an expense, but they would also get a credit against their taxes, at least on the federal side, for those same expenses. Have I got that right as well?
I apologize. I had an earpiece in that disconnected while you were asking your question. Could you repeat it?
Sure.
So those same expenses that they could deduct as a lease expense, as an operating expense, they would also, on the federal side of the equation, get credit against the taxes that they owed for having done that, used that carbon monoxide or dioxide.
Through the chair, Senator Klayman, that is correct. The federal income tax is separate from the oil and gas production tax, the Alaska oil and gas production tax. They're not connected. And so I think we're talking apples and oranges in that regard. But yes, they do get a credit on their federal income tax 45Q calculation. And then for the Alaska oil and gas production tax, they can take it as a EOR if it were ordinary, necessary, and enhanced oil recovery.
Thank you.
Further questions on Amendment D-44? Senator Wilikowski.
Just to clarify, so companies can go ahead and use carbon for enhanced oil recovery right now on the North Slope and could get a lease expenditure deduction? Just to clarify, did I hear that correctly?
Through the chair, Senator, you know, I don't see a visual, so I'm sorry if I'm cutting someone off.
No, this.
Okay, I thought I heard somebody speaking over. So through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, I just want to preface that as acting director, I am not an oil and gas production tax expert. And so a lot of what I've learned in these last several months as acting is what I'm repeating. And so if I misspeak, I might want to ask for one of my lifelines. We have a couple of my economists online as well, Owen and David. But yes, if the carbon capture was done today and there was some economical way of getting it to enhance oil recovery, and that was ordinary and necessary business expense under our when we audited, if we reviewed that and determined yes, that's an ordinary and necessary business expense, we would allow it as a an EOR deduction.
Follow-up, Senator Wilikowski.
Well, just a statement, and I hear various things. I hear the statement made that no one is doing it. I've heard the commissioner say our regs are interpreted to not allow for the recovery of it, but then I just heard Mr. Stevens say something different. So I think they probably can deduct it. I think it and that's what we're seeking to disallow. And the reason we're disallowing it is because it's extremely expensive. We've had testimony before this committee that these carbon capture projects are extremely expensive, and they are only made economic by the fact that they get $60 or, in some cases, $130 tax credit. We know that producers on the North Slope are doing this in other parts of the world. And so all this is saying is, in the event that they're getting these tax credits, they can't double dip. They can't write it off their taxes. These write-offs are not allowed in any other state in the United States. And this has the potential to be extremely expensive for our state. Maybe it'll never happen. And I'll just say, it's not my intent to stop any other EOR. I know companies have been doing enhanced oil recovery for decades. It's not my intent in any way, shape, or form to stop that, to disallow that, to take away the lease expenditures for that, no matter how expensive they are. And quite frankly, under this amendment, if companies decide to do enhanced oil recovery and just write it off their taxes, they'll still be allowed to do that. They just can't get the 45Q credits if they do that, because we can't allow double dipping, because the federal tax credits, as massive as they are, hugely distort the economics of projects in a way that is detrimental to our state budget. And so I am committed to working with the department going forward if there are any changes to be needed. But right now, I think it's important to have this in this bill. And I'm happy to work with the departments. I'm happy to work with the finance committee. But I think we need to send this up there with this language in there. And like I said, we'll continue to wrestle with it.
Thank you, Senator Wilkowski. I would make that point that the bill goes to finance from here. The other thing I want to point out is this is D44, so it's actually theoretically a conceptual amendment because the version before us right now is H. Co-Chair Bishop, you had your hand up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This question is probably for the tax division. The 45Q credits are terminate in 2033. Is that correct?
So for the record, Brandon Spanos, acting director in the tax division, through the chair, Senator Bishop, I would actually have to look that up. I'm not 100% sure.
Co-Chair Bishop, follow up.
Okay, well, all right. Well, then you can follow up in finance with me on that question. I guess it will come to me. All right, but my thought process is so nobody's doing it now. Nobody's claiming the credit for EOR currently. 2033, they might not get renewed, right? Nobody's doing it now, so. I'll just leave it at that. My question now is probably to DNR or tax. This amendment, no way, no how, will inadvertently kill any carbon capture that's a standalone point source capture at a generation facility to be stored in a Class 6 ingestion well for pure storage.
Yeah, Co-Chair Bishop, my understanding is this particular amendment would not impact those types of activities.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. For the record, that was Commissioner Boyle. Further discussion, Senator Klayman.
A follow-up on the co-chair's question. In the same context, the effect of this amendment, if we adopt it and somebody does do carbon capture and inject it for enhanced oil recovery, but they don't claim a 45Q tax credit, then they would be able to deduct that as a cost of the production. It's only those that have the cost and get the credit that they would be barred from using it as a deduction under the way this amendment is drafted. Is that your understanding?
I think that's a DOR question.
Okay.
So I'll direct that to Brandon Spanos, acting director of the tax division. Mr. Spanos.
So again, for the record, Brandon Spanos, acting director of the tax division. And my computer's not working with me, so I'm not seeing the language. I would have to look at the language to give my opinion on that.
Further questions? Senator Kaufman.
Thank you. Through the chair, Mr. Boyle, there's a couple of concerns here. One is that we somehow hamper the production of oil and gas by kind of shooting ourselves in the foot with requirements around this that hampers our ability to for enhanced oil recovery. So that whole conflation of what's carbon injection for storage versus carbon injection for improve performance. Can you characterize the difference in activities or facilities that would be used to do one versus the other, maybe to give a stronger sense of the separation that will be there? I mean, some may be picturing a facility that's doing both at the same time, and if it is there some kind of metering process that's going on? What does the measurement or evaluation process look like that can assure that we're not double dipping, if that's the concern?
Through the chair, Senator Kaufman, this is John Boyle again for the record. I'm going to take an attempt to answer that. I may turn to learned counsel to fill in any details that I potentially misstate. The department's position is, I don't believe we don't believe that it would hamper North Slope oil production if companies that are capturing fugitive carbon and are collecting 45Q tax credits are prohibited from claiming that as a lease deduction. I don't think that's a problem. So where you may, though, have a company that wants to capture fugitive carbon, they may want to claim the 45Q tax credit. And then, then it depends on what level of 45Q tax credit they want to claim. If that carbon is permanently stored, they would get an 80 some odd dollar credit for that activity. And let's just say, for example, that's an oil company that's undertaking that process. All of the expenses related to the capturing and the permanent sequestration of that carbon would not be allowable lease expenditures, to my knowledge, under our existing regulations. So their incentive to do that activity would be wholly premised on the amount of the 45Q tax credit that is available for capturing fugitive carbon and permanently sequestering it. And it would be completely independent and isolated from our existing lease expenditure regulations. The same goes for a company, again, could be an oil company that wants to employ direct air capture of carbon and be entitled to the 135 or thereabout credit for direct air capture that, again, have to take that direct air captured carbon and permanently sequester it. That activity, those expenses, would not be allowable lease expenditures under our current production tax law if we had companies that were in oil companies that were also producers that were engaged in that activity. So, and again, I think based on our understanding, if we had a company that may want to capture fugitive carbon and then sell that CO2 maybe to another company that would be interested in utilizing that captured carbon for enhanced oil recovery, my understanding would be the company capturing the carbon would be entitled to get the 45Q tax credit, but that would not be an allowable lease expenditure. But if there was a company that wanted to utilize captured CO2 for enhanced oil recovery, and that's deemed as ordinary and necessary in order to help facilitate the increased production of oil, the other company buying that particular CO2 could be entitled to deduct that is a qualified lease expenditure. But again, that would be a call that the Department of Revenue would have to make.
Senator Cochair Bishop.
So I just had a vision, probably a bad one. How could you, and so this might be for tax, so tune in, tax. How could, to be eligible for the 45Q credits, don't you have to have an approved Class 6 injection well to claim that credit? And the EOR credits are going down a Class 2 well.
Senator Bishop, through the chair, John Crowther, Deputy Commissioner here for the record. For pure storage operations that receives the higher credit amount under 45Q, there has to be an approved Class 6 well. It's possible to inject carbon dioxide through Class 2 wells, which are currently can be permitted by the state. Any Class 6 well can be permitted by the EPA alone without primacy. But that EOR-related activity can occur through a Class 2 well. It does not mean all injection or all CO2 injection through a Class 2 well is eligible for 45Q, as there are other requirements.
So repeat that last sentence, please.
I think if I can remember, what I was saying is that carbon can be injected through a class two well. It does not mean all carbon that is injected through that well is eligible for 45Q credits. There are other requirements in addition to just being utilized.
That's my question.
Follow up, Senator Bishop.
That's my question. Would it even be eligible for the 45Q credit going down a class two well for EOR?
Senator Bishop, through the chair, it's our understanding that it could be eligible if it was permanently, if it resulted in enhanced oil recovery that involved disposition in the reservoir, and it would otherwise be emitted. Okay. And I'd note for the committee that carbon dioxide that's being cycled on the slope would not otherwise be emitted. So that's categorically out.
Senator Bishop, further follow-up?
As we follow this bill to the Finance Committee, I'll want to get a further answer on if it's eligible for the 45Q credit under that scenario that I've asked.
Very good. Further discussion? Seeing none, I'm going to remove my objection. Is there further objection to Amendment Number 44? Seeing none, Amendment 44 has been adopted. The next amendment, again doing them numerically, is Amendment Number D45. I'll give committee members a moment to find it. Everybody got it? All right, Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Amendment D.45.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you. This is an issue that's been before this body for a number of years, and it closes a loophole and puts the oil companies in parity in terms of tax status on the North Slope. There is currently an S Corp provision which allows individuals or organizations to classify under the IRS tax code as an S corporation as opposed to a C corporation. As far as we know, most of the oil companies, if not all the oil companies except for one, are incorporated as C corporations. However, we believe there are at least one individual who perhaps lives outside of the state who is not incorporated as a C corp, is incorporated as an S corp, and is therefore not paying corporate income taxes. And because we're a resource development state, we're heavily dependent on resource development revenue. Our oil and gas is a non-renewable finite resource. We have a constitutional mandate to get the maximum benefit for our resources for the people of Alaska. And we're trying to close this loophole so that companies doing the same work or making similar profits are not treated differently because of the way they're incorporated, which is fundamentally unfair. And so this just simply makes this something that it puts the companies on parity across Alaska. I would note that our legislative finance department has analyzed this issue, and in an indirect expenditure report that they've reported, recommended termination of this. They said, if I may read,
yes.
When asked, quote, should it be continued, this S Corp exclusion, should it be continued, modified, or terminated, our legislative finance division said, quote, recommend termination. S corporations are exempt from federal corporate income tax because income from these corporations is taxed under the personal income tax. Without a state personal income tax, these corporations receive the legal benefits of incorporation without any state tax liability. So this is something that is recommended by our legislative finance department, and I would urge the body to support. And that we a couple other notes. We added a provision, and getting rushed opinions from legislative legal. If you look at lines 22 and 23, there's an add there, and it's a little awkward the way it's drafted, but it does say that the Department of Administration shall separately account for the tax collected under this section, and then tax revenue collected under this section may be appropriated by the legislature to fund renewable energy or electrical grid projects and upgrades. And so the intent of this amendment is to get what we assume will be over $100 million, perhaps $175 million per year going forward, and have that money go to desperately needed renewable energy projects, electrical grid projects and upgrades across the state, and put our tax code, make it a little more fair. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Wilkowski. So this is also a conceptual, I'll point out, a conceptual amendment as it is drafted to the D version of the bill, and you can see that the drafting of it was not completely completed. Yes, Senator Wilkowski.
One more aspect. There is a retroactivity provision which makes this retroactive to January 1, 2023.
Discussion. Senator Kaufman.
I'm going to respectfully oppose this. I understand the desire, but I believe this is very heavy tax policy that it really should get more consideration as a bill than it should as an amendment. And so I respectfully oppose this amendment.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Co-Chair Bishop.
Thank you. I'll be opposed as well until I can study this when it gets up to finance.
Thank you, Co-Chair Bishop. I believe this bill is, this amendment is a bill that is in finance, which is where the fiscal note has been derived. Senator Bishop.
Thank you. It's a long day. I get it. You can call me anything. Just don't call me late to dinner. I've just reread, you know, I'm just rereading the fiscal notes because that's where I get the best information on, for me, to, on a bill. And I've just got some questions I want to ask it at the Finance Committee on paragraph 2 and 3. So of the fiscal note, that's all, man.
Thank you. And remember, we have our folks listening online. And paragraph 2, 2, and 3 that you're referencing is on page 2 of the fiscal note. It says revenue impact. Just briefly, it says revenue impact is highly uncertain. The department doesn't have detailed financial information for the companies that would be impacted. So, thank you. Senator Kleeman.
And I, too, am going to be a no vote on this amendment. Where I'm more troubled is that, as an equity matter, if we should be taking away the S-Corp's tax exemption, I tend to think we should be doing it for all S-Corps and not just one. I understand we're talking about one company that has a lot more tax liability, but we don't have, our C-Corporations don't have minimums. All the C-Corps pay corporate taxes, and if we should be doing that with S-Corps, I think we should be looking at all S-Corps. So for that reason, I'm going to be a no vote on the amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
And I apologize for talking too softly.
Further discussion? Any additional comments, Senator Wilkowski? No. I'm going to remove my objection. Is there further objection to the amendment?
I object.
So there's been further objection. Sav, if you would call the roll, please.
Senator Wilkowski? Yes.
Senator Kalasaki?
Yes.
Senator Kaufman?
No.
Senator Dunbar?
Yes.
Senator Klayman?
No.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Yes.
4 yeas, 3 nays.
So on a vote of 4 yeas, 3 nays, amendment, conceptual amendment D45 has been adopted. The next amendment, going through numerically, is H1. So this amendment was drafted to the current working document, the current bill. Senator Wilkowski, Amendment H1.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Move Amendment H.1.
And I will object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you. And I want to give credit where credit's due on this. This was an idea that generated from Representative McKay in the House Resources Committee, and looked at it, thought it was a good idea, and started to dive into it. Fundamentally, what it does is it allows for ADA, Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority, to do reserves-based lending. The problem that we've heard over and over again in Cook Inlet is that there is a tremendous amount of capital constraint. Companies want to build. We believe at Cosmopolitan, for example, there is an enormous amount of gas, perhaps several hundred billion cubic feet of gas there, which would be enough to really solve our gas problem for at least the next decade. And that they simply can't get the capital for it for a variety of reasons. There's other projects that we believe are capital constrained. And so working with ADA, working with DNR, DOR, the Governor's Office, Department of Law, we've tweaked this language quite a bit. I think there's a fair degree of support for it. It shouldn't have much, if any, of a fiscal note. It just simply allows ADA to go ahead and do this reserves-based lending. And then, because it's using what our state resources, it requires the RCA to it requires just and reasonable rates for the gas so that Alaskan consumers can't get gouged in their gas prices. And I'm happy to take questions and would perhaps invite the ADA if they're online to comment or others, Madam Chair, if people are so inclined to have questions.
Thank you, Senator Wilkowski. Questions from committee members, comments. Co-Chair Bishop.
Senator Wilkowski, just in case I missed it when you were introducing the amendment, if it's warranted, maybe if ADA's on the line or some that could speak to the public at home what reserves-based lending is.
Co-Chair Bishop, I do not see ADA on board. However, we do have the Department of Revenue, who probably knows something about this. Mr. Spanos, are you able to answer a question about reserve space lending?
Madam Chair, I would suggest asking Deputy Commissioner Fadil Lamani.
Very good. Deputy Commissioner Lamani.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. For the record, this is Deputy Commissioner of Department of Revenue, Fadil Lamani. Appreciate the question. To our knowledge, in the Commissioner's office, we have not been engaged on this particular amendment or conversation on the lending.
Understood. Do you have any information about exactly what this kind of loan, this kind of lending is?
Madam Chair, we do not. We have limited information to be able to comments on this particular topic at this time.
Thank you. Senator Wilkowski.
I find that rather surprising since I have talked with both Department of Natural Resources and DOR, but and provided them with this and spoken with them multiple times about it. In any event, reserve-based lending is actually defined in the proposal at Section 51, Line 31. It's a loan made against and fully secured by an oil and gas field, proven undeveloped oil and gas or developed oil and gas reserves or other assets of the entity receiving the loan. So fundamentally, the way this would work or might work is if there is a prospect that has a large degree of gas, they are unable to get capital, they would pledge the reserves as collateral for getting a loan from AHFC. It protects AHFC's interest because if the loan is not repaid, then ADA is entitled to get the assets, the reserves as assets, or other assets that they might require.
Thank you, Senator Wilkowski. You mentioned AHFC. Did you mean ADA?
I'm sorry if I misspoke. I meant ADA.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I do recall when we had a joint resources meeting with the House Resources Committee, I don't know, 2 months ago, we had We had Cook Inlet producers to the table. And the gentleman representing Cosmopolitan was asked the question, have you approached ADA for financial assistance? And his response was no. So this would certainly open the door for that. And Senator Wilikowski?
I would just add, I know there have been concerns for many years over ADA and the things that they're investing in and questionable investments. I think that there could be no better investment than this. This is, as we all know, we have a crisis in Cook Inlet. The public expects us to do something about it. This is a way to use these dollars, which are in ADA, for something that will benefit at least 70% of the state's population who live along the rail belt and who rely on natural gas from Cook Inlet to heat their homes, to provide electricity. And it'll be good for our economy. It'll be good for residential consumers. It'll be good for business community. And if we've got this money, rather than making questionable loans with no collateral and questionable terms, I think we couldn't find something better to invest in, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The only thing I will say that I disagree with that Senator Wilkowski just said is that it's not 70% of the people of Alaska that benefit from this. Because of our cost equalization programs, it's 100%. So I fully support the amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Further comment? Very good. Well, then I will remove my objection. Is there further objection to amendment conceptual? No, it's actually a real amendment, H1. It's made to the bill itself. All right. We have an additional amendment, H3. And I believe this amendment was offered by Senator Clayman.
That's correct. Madam Chair, I move amendment H3.
Thank you, and I'll object for purposes of discussion.
So, Madam Chair, this actually is kind of a follow-up on my earlier amendment to the 5-year sunset. What this amendment does is it just requires legislative audit by the 1st of January 2033 when the 45Q tax credits run out to prepare an audit and report to the legislature on how things have been going for the last, hopefully, 8 years. And that will and included in that any recommendations to improve the carbon storage program. So short of a sunset, what this would mean was the legislature would actually have some input from our own auditor about how the program is working, and if that caused the future legislature to make changes, at least they'd have some substantive analysis to go with it.
Thank you, Senator Clayman. Committee comments, questions? Well, I'll ask a question. Senator Clayman, I know that the audit division has a very long list of audits to perform. I'm just wondering if you've discussed this with them and what the real is it realistic to expect them to be able to do this, especially on an annual basis when they have multiple audits lined up?
Madam Chair, it's not an annual audit. It's just one audit in 2033. And so I have not spoken with the audit division. I'm actually quite familiar with some of their backlog, but I suspect that given how far out in time this is, 9 years out, that or not quite 9 years, but pushing 9 years out, I've talked with them. I predict their answer would be, well, we would put it in the queue and it would be the first thing in the list right now for January 1st, 2033.
Thank you, Senator Clayman. Further questions regarding Amendment H3? Seeing none, I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to Amendment H3? Seeing none, Amendment H3 is adopted. I believe that brings us to the end of amendments. So, Senator Bishop, I look to you for a motion.
Thank you, Chair Giesel. I move to report the committee substitute for HB 50, Work Order 33-Golf Hotel 1567/Hotel, as amended, out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Legislative legal has the authority to make any technical and conforming changes.
Very good. Seeing no objection, The bill will move from committee, that being 33GH1567/H, the CS, for House Bill 50. With that, it concludes our agenda for today. The next meeting will be on Monday, May 6th at 3:30 p.m. On the agenda will be Senate Bill 194, Reduction of Royalty on Cook Inlet Oil and Gas, by the governor. So at this time, we will stand adjourned. Let the record reflect. The time is 4:25 p.m.